Amen. Well, we turn to God's Word, and God willing, this Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to look at the prophet Jonah. Two chapters today and two chapters next week, hopefully. So, Jonah chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord, because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Well, if nothing else, it's an exciting story, and I'm sure there'll be lessons for us to learn. God's word is always relevant. Well, as we begin a new year, there are many challenges. Many challenges for the world, many challenges for Christians. But one of the great challenges, whether you're a Christian or not this morning, is this: will you obey God? Will you obey God? To obey or not to obey? That is the question. We have an example here in a man, Jonah, who begins in this first chapter by choosing not to obey God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, go to the great city of Nineveh. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. If we had a map here this morning, rather than going in the direction that God wanted him to go, he goes in the opposite direction. And so Jonah, at this point, his ministry, his life, his believing life, his relationship that he had with God, is clouded by disobedience. And the Bible tells us that disobedience is one of the great marks of unchristian, non-Christian people. We choose not to obey God. There are all the encouragements of the Bible to believe God, to trust God, to embrace his promises, to run in the direction that he wants. But rather than choosing sovereign control, we choose self-control. And this chapter is a chapter where there is great conflict. There is conflict between Jonah and his God. And when you're in conflict with God, you then usually become in conflict with others. There's conflict and tension and stress and argument going on. It's only when God has his way. We have sung this morning, haven't we? All the way my Savior leads me. And that has to be coupled with a readiness and a willingness to walk in the way of God. David put it in a simple way, didn't he? The Lord is my shepherd. David chose to follow God. Wherever God would lead, he would follow. But here we find Jonah in disobedience. We find him rejecting. We find him saying no to God and yes to self. Now, I suppose the most basic question from this chapter this morning for us is, at the beginning of a new year, where do you stand? Are you still standing in the way of disobedience? You're saying no to God. You're saying no to his son. You're saying no to his grace. You're saying no to his mercy. You are saying no to all the help that he offers. Or are you willing to say this morning, Lord, I am coming. Lord, I am listening. Lord, I am going. Lord, I am doing. Your will be done in my life. Jonah is saying the total opposite here. So, the lessons, particularly this morning from chapter 1. The first lesson is that God speaks. At the beginning of this book and at the beginning of this year, isn't it wonderful to read, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. We open our Bibles in Genesis. God made the heavens and the earth by his word. God's word is powerful. God's word is sovereign. God's word is powerful. God's word is dynamic. We may have great confidence this morning in God's word. I nearly chose the hymn, but there were so many others to choose. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. The word of God directs. The word of God compels. And here we see the sovereign word of God intends to send. God's word sends. God's word equips. And here we find the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It's a word of revelation. Revelation means as if God is drawing back the curtain. And God is inviting Jonah into a plan. God is inviting Jonah to partner with him in his mission purposes. The book of Jonah really is a book about mission. And here, the great commission for Jonah is to go. There is an urgency. Get up. Go now. That's what the original text is conveying. This is not Jonah's first commission. We have seen, for example, 2 Kings 14, verse 25. He's prophesied before. He's heard the word of God before. He's obeyed the word of God before. He spoke God's promise to a king called Jeroboam. And the promise was that God would restore Israel's borders to the limits established by King David. God had promised land, and God had promised in covenant mercy that he would be the king of Israel, but he would be the king of Israel for the sake of the nations. It is through Israel that the nations would be blessed. Jonah's prediction to Jeroboam is fulfilled. Israel prospered. There's nothing like a good ministry day, is there? When the word comes, you preach the word, and the word is before your very eyes being fulfilled. God is speaking. But God is speaking again. And this time, God is speaking so that his prophet, the prophet in Israel, might indeed go to warn and to be a blessing for a nearby nation. The commission of God now is to go. It's the same God. It's the same word. It has the same intention. But Jonah, as it were, stands and refuses. He has to go to a faraway pagan, Gentile people. It's not to his own people, but it's to a faraway nation, Assyria. Assyria was the home of the enemy. God is going to send Jonah to speak to enemies. And we know, not only is it a faraway nation, it's a wicked nation. Their destruction, their cruelty, their oppression was barbaric in many ways. And Israel knew that, and Jonah knew that. One commentator says, when you think of Assyria, think ISIS, think Boko Haram, think of the most awful torturers that you can think of. But God has a message for them. God has seen their wickedness. God has seen that they need him. They need to turn. They need to repent. And this is the message that Jonah needs to take. They, like Israel, and all nations, and all peoples, are accountable to God. How we live, how we choose, how we decide, what we say, what we are, is all of an interest to God. He made us, and we are responsible to him. And God is choosing Jonah here. What mercy. What grace. What kindness. What excitement there can be. God is choosing. God is asking Jonah to partner with him in this wonderful mission. This was God's mission for Jonah. It typifies, the book of Jonah typifies, and we'll see in, later on that this is the great struggle. It typifies the heart of God. God wants to extend his covenant blessings beyond Israel. The world is his and all that is in it. And different languages, different peoples, different places, different tribes. They need to hear about the living God. The mission of God is to send his servants with a message that offers change, hope, and salvation. That is always the mission of God. It's a mission of hope, it's a mission of change, it's a mission of salvation, that the light may shine, that the peoples that walked in darkness may see this great light. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. There's a great continuity here, isn't there? The word of the Lord came to Abraham. The word of the Lord came to Moses. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah of old. Jesus himself uses this word. Go, make disciples. This is the great command. This is the authoritative command of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go make disciples of all nations. Go to Jerusalem. Go to Judea. Go to Samaria. Go to the ends of the earth. It's a word that is intended to mobilize God's people. I was in my final year as a student, and one of the speakers we had in our student conference was George Verwer. And I heard him say this, and it stuck with me all these years. The church either mobilizes or fossilizes. We mobilize, we fossilize. In other words, we obey, or if we don't obey, we will just become static and fossilize. And the next verse then is shocking, isn't it? Or is it shocking? Is this the human default, even sometimes the Christian position? Jonah runs away from the Lord and his commission. Now, are you this morning going in a different direction than God has intended for your life? The direction of Jesus, the direction of the cross, the direction of mission, the direction of service, the direction of ministry, the direction of laying down your lives as Jesus laid down his life for you? Or are you saying, well, what about me? What about my life? What about my choices? What about my desires? What about my time? What about and everything else that we want in our lives? What is it that fuels the disobedience of Jonah? It might be fear. Well, that's understandable. Or it might be a reluctance to reach out to the enemy, to the pagan aggressors who deserve God's judgment. Did Jonah have a kind of a wrong kind of nationalism? There's nothing wrong with being proud of your nation and being willing to fight for your nation and to serve your nation in different ways. But was Jonah here limiting God? He was a Jew, and he might have felt, well, do we really need to share the blessings of God with pagans? They're worse than us. Indeed, in the very word, they're pagans. They're not fearing God. And so, why go at all? But as I've said, the default position here is one of disobedience. This is what is rooted in the pagan heart. It's rooted by nature in your heart and my heart. When Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he tells them that they are in sin, they are children of disobedience. No. One of the first things children usually say to their parents, isn't it? No. They find that one word in the vocabulary and they cling on to that word for very, very long. No. Disobedience. The name Jonah translates to dove. Now, before you get sentimental and think, oh, that's nice, dove. His mother called him dove. Well, in the Bible, Ephraim is like a dove, easily deceived and senseless. Now calling to Egypt, turning to Assyria. You see, flying away from God. The psalmist says, oh, for the wings of a dove, far away would I roam. It's the roaming instinct. It's the flying away in a different direction. And such resentment and disobedience, of course, it's foolish. He runs away from God. Where can you flee? Where can you run? And God is not there. God is the God of the whole universe. God is the God of everywhere and anywhere. What Jonah is doing here is questioning God's purpose, and he's questioning God's plan of mission. And as I say, the temptation is always there to question the direction of God for our lives. Off we go with our foot on the control gear. Why go to the nations? Why reach unreached people groups? Why go to a foreign country? Why learn another language? Why learn an alien culture? Why plant a church in the suburbs? Why send missionaries to a Welsh valley or to an English town? Why work amongst ethnic minorities? But the book of Jonah is saying to us, submit willingly. Willingly obey the God who chooses to send you. So God sovereignly sends. But in the disobedience, we see that God sovereignly superintends. Jonah's on the run from God. All seems so providentially convenient. The boat for Tarshish was just there. Must be okay. Get on the boat, go in a different direction. But then we see God continues to intervene in the life of Jonah. There are three activities of God that regulate this section that underlines God is superintending all things. God sends the storm. God is the one that is in control. He will not let his servant go. He will sometimes block his way. And sometimes we should be thankful that there are sometimes closed doors. God opens doors, God closes doors. God says this way, God says that way. God says go, God says sometimes wait. God then sometimes does something totally different. He will not abandon his purpose to reach the Ninevites. He will get Jonah to Nineveh. We are told that even in the storm, even in the seas, God is in control. There's that wonderful verse, isn't there, which has come into our hymn books as well. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. God's the captain. He might not be the captain of the ship, but he's the captain of the storm. The purpose here is that God makes himself known to the sailors. The sailors are pagan sailors. We are told they are praying to their God. Jonah, thankfully, in a moment of, well, more than common sense, is able to call out to the God of heaven and to identify himself as a Hebrew. Now, what does it take to wake up a man and a woman and a Christian to our responsibilities and to opportunities for service? Well, God may use all things. It's one of the reasons I chose the verse for the children. We know that in all things, God is working for the good. You may have gone through a storm, 2025, and there may be more storms to come. There are sadnesses, there are distresses, there are ups, there are downs. There's health issues, there's mental health issues, there's family issues, there's financial issues, there's social issues, there are spiritual issues. And in this boil, as it were, of everything, God uses the events and the circumstances to shake us up, to wake us up. He may use it all to unsettle us in what have become the securities we're trusting in. Jonah was trusting in his own decisions, but here he comes, and even in the bad day, he testifies to God's a sovereign care and a sovereign's rule. And he does bring these men to at least some kind of confession. They feared the Lord. They come from their paganism to fearing the God of Israel. You see, God wants to save the Ninevites, yes. But the first thing he has to do is save Jonah, isn't it? Jonah needs to be saved. Jonah needs to be brought again to a relationship with God and to a connection with the purposes of God. Sometimes this is what happens, isn't it? You remember Paul? Paul says, here's a trustworthy saying, full of acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. For that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the mercy of God may be displayed to others. God sometimes does a work in us before he does the work in those that we are praying for. And finally here, God sends, God superintends, and we see here that God saves. God provides. It's a great line, isn't it? The Lord provided a huge fish. Not what Jonah had planned. Jonah is thrown overboard, man overboard, but God is in control. And we are told here that God provides. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. And so already, before we get into the real reason for the book of Jonah, if you like, we're learning many, many things. We may trust this year the sovereign word of God, the sovereign plans of God, the sovereign provision of God. We may trust and we may be found, hopefully, obeying him. Heavenly Father, teach us your ways. Heavenly Father, as we have sung this morning, bend us, break us, mold us, melt us. Oh, Heavenly Father, to accept willingly that your ways are always the best, because they alone will result in your honor and your glory. Amen.